Hey everyone, if you've been following with us so far this week, you'll know that we are in this special devotion series on Advent as we approach Christmas Day and as we celebrate the season. And so each day we've been going through a different passage focusing on the coming of the Christ. And so today's passage is going to be a short one from Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. So again, this is Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Let me read this for us. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And he shall be their peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land and treads in our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men. They shall shepherd the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod at its entrances. And he shall deliver us from the Assyrian, when he comes into our land and treads within our border. So you might not know this about me, but I'm someone who appreciates history. In school, I really enjoyed history. I like learning about different past events and just different characters in the storyline of history. And part of that is because I believe knowing that what has happened in the past is helpful for understanding and appreciating both the present. It can also be potentially helpful in looking ahead to the future. And so I think this applies in our personal lives, so knowing our personal history, which may include our family history or maybe our cultural heritage. But I also think this is very important and helpful for understanding passages like today's in Micah chapter 5. So let's do a little bit of a dive into the history here. The book of Micah was written around 750 to 700 BC. And by this point, the kingdom of Israel had split into two kingdoms. There was a northern kingdom, typically referred to as Israel, and then a southern kingdom, typically referred to as Judah. At the time of writing, Judah was still an independent kingdom, but that wouldn't last much longer, because soon this kingdom of Judah would be conquered by the Babylonian Empire, and many of the people of Judah would be carried off into exile. This was a far cry from when the kingdom of Israel, as in one, the whole nation, undivided, was in its glory days. Because some 300 years or so earlier, prior to Micah writing this prophecy, this book, the kingdom was unified. Again, so it was one nation, and thriving under the rule of the great King David, who probably goes down as one of the greatest leaders in Israel's history. So for any listeners or readers of Micah's prophecy here in Micah 5, verse 2 probably would have stood out quite a bit. It says, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." You see, David was originally from the town of Bethlehem, and so the listeners of the day likely would have been filled with some level of hope and excitement upon hearing this. A leader from Bethlehem? Well, does this mean that somebody like David will come to rule Israel once again? Will we be brought together as a nation and live in the peace and prosperity that our people once enjoyed? Will we once again become a force to be reckoned with among these pagan nations? These are maybe the types of thoughts and questions that came to mind, the type of excitement that people had. Now, the people of that day may not have fully understood what was being said, because again, you can read something like that. We read about the Assyrians and other nations just coming and attacking, and so the thought might have been, hey, we're looking forward to a king like David, a leader who would bring us out, help us to be this powerful nation once again. That's what the people might have thought. But of course, you and I have the luxury of knowing that this wasn't just any ruler being prophesied about. It was about Jesus, the Messiah. Many of us might be familiar with this story already, but we know that Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. But this wasn't just some type of coincidence. it actually tells us of the lineage that that Jesus comes from. The reference to Bethlehem wasn't simply a nice callback to David. It was a means of showing that the Messiah would be a descendant of David, something that we can see laid out in detail in the genealogy of Jesus as given to us in Matthew chapter 1, something that I encourage you to read on your own time. I won't be doing that today. We also see that David himself was actually told that this type of leader, this type of ruler would come as part of his lineage. We can read that in 2 Samuel chapter 7, which actually I'll read that for us. Because in this passage, God says to David, 2 Samuel 7, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." They go into some history here again. This was something, again, that David received from the Lord. And you could read this and think that, oh, God is saying that the kingdom of Judah will live on forever. But we know from history that this was not necessarily the case, at least not in the earthly sense. Like I alluded to earlier, the kingdom of Judah was eventually conquered, and there were no more kings in Judah because there was no nation. And so you could know the history and look at this and think, well, what was God saying? Well, God was referencing the Messiah to come, the ruler who would come to establish his kingdom here, a kingdom that will never fade, a kingdom that will be established forever. Now, the main reason I wanted to go through all of this history was to show us one thing. It's that God has been working and orchestrating everything throughout history. Micah's prophecy here in chapter 5 comes about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. The one told to David in 2 Samuel 7 comes about 1,000 years before Jesus. And yet when we look through history, we can see that all of it has come true. A ruler has come forth. This ruler truly is like a shepherd, leading in the strength and the majesty of the Lord God. And his reign has brought a peace that allows all who follow him to dwell secure. You see, God is working. God has been working through the hundreds, the thousands of years. And this can be hard for us to see and understand sometimes while we're waiting. Because, I mean, again, the people of God waited literally hundreds, thousands of years. But we can see, we have this hindsight in knowing that God was working. He put everything together in such a way that led to the coming of the Messiah, just as he had promised all those hundreds and thousands of years beforehand. He worked through the details for all of this to happen. And so I think what that means for us then is that he's working today as well. He's working to bring about his kingdom. We might not be able to see it just as we're living in the present. And of course, we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but he is working just as he has been in the past. He's working on the grand scale, but I also believe he's working in each of our lives. He's working through your life. He's also working around your life, all to fulfill his purpose. And so as we continue to reflect upon the advent of Jesus, I want to encourage us today to have hope, to trust in God and his works. Maybe in your own life, there are things that don't seem to be changing, whether that is certain life circumstances or maybe certain areas of your own life. Maybe you're hoping, man, I wish I could change. I could grow out of this or that habit or that struggle. Let's remember that God is moving. Whether we see it or not, let's rest secure in this reality that God is working, that he is moving, and that we can put our trust in him, that we ought to continue to put our trust in him. So with that, let me pray for us to close this out. Lord God, we look back upon the history of really all of creation, or even just simply this narrative that we looked at today, and we can see, God, that through the different details and elements, you worked such that the Messiah did come exactly as was prophesied. God, you are working even in things that we probably don't even recognize or see to bring about things just as you planned. And Lord, this led to the coming of, again, Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and we thank you for that. We also thank you that you are still working today, that you haven't stopped working, but in fact, you are still working in us, through us, and all around us to accomplish your works, Lord. Help us to trust in this truth, this reality. Help us to lay down our worries, our fears, our doubts, and give it to you, and in fact, join in what you're doing, to be vessels used for your works. We pray that you would give us hope in knowing that even when things seem bleak, seem like nothing is happening, we know that you are moving and working, Lord, in ways that sometimes we can see and other times we can't, Lord. But thank you. Thank you that you're always moving, you're working, that we can trust in you, God. Thank you that you are coming once again soon, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.